Praise the Lord. He's worthy. Amen. Why don't we kneel one more time for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we do ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon us. We pray, God, that you would illuminate your word. You said the entrance of your word gives light. Father, give light to this congregation. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be present as we open and preach his word. That you would show us great and mighty things, Father, that we do not know. That you would convince us, Lord, of any error or deception in our lives. That you would encourage us to walk in all your ways. Oh, Father, we ask you to rebuke the evil one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. We ask that you would bind him up and cast him out, that your people might receive the word of God. And Father, if there are those among us today that are walking in darkness, oh, Father, grant them mercy. Have mercy and open their eyes, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless this service, that you would make preaching easy for me, Lord, that I could share your word that you have given me. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look at a scripture, before I get into my message for a little introduction, there's a thought that I had as I was worshiping this morning and meditating on the service and things that were said, and that with God there is no neutral. There's no really gray areas with God. Though we often say these are gray areas, in the kingdom of God, you're either in or you're out. Amen? You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. There is no middle ground. There is no neutrality. And you say, well, can you back that up with Scripture? Well, in Luke chapter 11, verse 23, God declares through the words of Jesus Christ that there is no neutrality. It says here, "He that is not with me is against me." Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. You're opposing me. You are my enemy. And he also goes to say, and he that gathereth not with me, scattereth. So if you're not actively working with Christ to do his will, you are actually destroying his work. You're scattering. You're tearing it apart. So with God, my friends, there is no neutrality today. May you just get that as a foundation stone before I get into the text of the message today that we're going to look at. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. So out here in this world, things are either for God or they're against God. This amoral argument is a dangerous place. That things are neither good or bad. My friends, things for you and I as the Christian are either good or bad. They're either going to lift us up or they're going to bring us down. So we must hear the word of God today. If you're not gathering with Christ, you're scattering. He that is not with me is against me. If I could title the message today, I would just put a big D on the board and a hyphen, and I would write the word evil. You can see that, D-evil. We know in the devil's name, most of his name is evil. Amen? So we're going to push this D-evil. Communications is the title of the message today. You know, as I look around in my life, as I work, as I raise my family, as I go to church, as I go out into the community sharing the gospel with those that are lost, As I look at our young people, the average American youth from 12 to 20 today, as you walk the streets of Ephrata or New York City or Philadelphia or New Orleans or wherever you might go, as you look at our young people and you try to communicate with them, there's something wrong. You know, the psychologists have tried to give them names. The X generation, the Z generation, the subculture. They don't know what to do with this new generation that's coming up. They're just not where their parents are. And the generation of them, of their parents, is not where their parents were in morality and mentality and thinking. Something has happened to change the way people think. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Something has influenced them. Something has corrupted them. Something has poisoned them, as I can say. Their morals have decayed. Their values stink. There's nothing redeeming about them. They're on their way to destruction, the Bible says. But now let's just forget what's out there and let's look right in here. The church of God, the called out, the ecclesia. What are we? Oh, I can think of my life back in 1988 when I was one of them and Jesus opened my eyes and I got born again. I trashed my filthy music, my filthy liquor, my filthy things, and I began to walk in the way of God. And soon after I walked with God and I studied His Word, I began to find more truth and more light and more meat. And I began to understand that this Christianity is more than a prayer. It's a life. It's a reality of knowing God. And then there was this day when God gave me, through preaching and through the Scriptures, a vision for my home, a godly home, that I didn't want the evil communications of the world and the fads and the styles and the way of the world to be in my home. We wanted it different. We wanted that godly home. And we began to pursue it. Well, my oldest is 20 now. My youngest is a year. I have 12 children that God has given me and my wife. And as I look at the vision for the godly home that I wanted, well, I think I've done fair. But I got a lot of issues still we're dealing with. Things I never thought I'd have to deal with in my home, I'm having to deal with. Influences that come in my home that me and my wife stay up late talking, said we never thought we'd have to deal with this one. We thought we'd be exempt. But as we look among us and without this church to other churches, we see very few achieving the godly home the way we really wanted it. We're failing. We just have to face it. We're failing in a lot of ways. The world has failed completely. And we're failing partly. And what's the problem? What's the cause? And I hope today, my message is not about the godly home as per se. But I hope that we can get some answers for what's wrong with the culture. What's wrong with us. My text scripture, if you turn there, it's 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 33. This is kind of a standalone verse for me here. I think we can just take this verse right out of context. And it's in context. I don't think we need the before after verses, although the after verse is very much in context with it. But Paul makes a bold statement here as he's dealing with a sinful Corinthian church and a lot of false teaching and a lot of problems and a lot of corruptions. And he just makes a bold and blanket statement. And he first says, Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Now, why do we have to say a statement like that? Jesus said that a few times. Be not deceived. Paul said it, I think, 3 times in Scripture. Be not deceived. I believe he said that because many of us are going to be deceived on this issue he's about to teach. Many people who profess Christ or profess the love of the truth are going to be messed up this one. So he's just telling us, be not deceived. Do you know that if you're deceived right now, you don't even have a clue? When you're deceived, you really don't have a clue. You're deceived. You think you're right. Just like our sister's testimony. I cried as I heard her testimony. I rejoiced at the mercy of God. But her heart was so sure. She couldn't hear nobody else. And that's the same problem with some of us. We get our face set and we can't hear it. We're right. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I want to get some pictures in your mind today of this scripture. First, let's break this scripture down in beginning. What is evil? What is evil? As I titled it, the evil, just to let you know who's at the root of all evil. The devil. The devil is at the top of the list. Ungodly communications, satanic communications, worldly communications, sensual communications, wicked communications, immoral or sinful communications corrupt your good manners. And what are your manners? That's your conduct. That's your morals. That's your standard. That's what you are. How you act. What does the word communication mean? The word communication would mean the influences or associations in our life. What are your associations? What are you associating with? What am I associating with? Who are we associating with? Whether it's media or mankind or magic or whatever it is, what are you associating with? It's influence. If it's not of God, it's going to corrupt you. That's what the scripture says. Now it says, of these evil associations or these evil influences, some more synonyms for this communication I believe that would fit here are companions, fellowships, friends, family. Your unsaved family can corrupt your good manners. Doctrine, evil or bad doctrine will corrupt you. You can't hear false teaching and it not affect you if you just let it in. To be a part of watered down, lukewarm Christianity is corrupting to your spirit. And also, one more word, evil reports corrupt good manner. And I can't help but think about the day the children of Israel are there in Kadesh Barnea. And the 12 spies have gone forth and they've surveyed the land. They've mapped the land out, spied it out to see what it's like. They brought some of the treasures of the land to show what it is. And turns out that 2 men said, God said that we could go and take this land. Let's go. But 12 said, whoa, we've got to talk about this. Now let's be rational. Let's don't be hasty. Let's think this through. There's no way we can take this land. The guys were this big. The walls were way higher. There's no way. No. This is a mess. We left Egypt. We've been out in this dusty, dry wilderness. And now look at the mess we're in. And because of this evil report, it corrupted the nation of Israel to death and damnation, even to this day. Even to this day, they're suffering from Kadesh Barnea. They really are. It's no small thing. So just think about the influence of the wrong information, not believing the truth. Somebody inserting that false in you is devastating to our spiritual growth. It will corrupt you. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now let's look at the word corrupt. Corruption. What is to corrupt? Well, if I would sit here right now and get a soda pop, a sugary high fructose corn syrup soda pop, and I would drink it, something would begin to happen on my teeth. The sugar on my teeth would cause a plaque attack. The plaque would begin growing in exponential numbers. And the plaque would begin to dig in and drill in and begin to rot my teeth. That's what rots your teeth. That's corruption. When someone gets wounded and their leg begins to get infected and gangrenous, and before long, the whole leg needs to be sawed off. That's corruption. As cholesterol is to an overweight man with a bad heart, it plaques up and blocks up the arteries and the valves, and he chokes and dies. It corrupts his heart. As the sun is to the snow, it's gone. It ruins it. As the salt is to the metal of your automobile, and then the rust is to the metal and puts holes through it. That's what evil communications are to your spirit, to your life, to your morals. As a little fire can start and burn a beautiful forest up, so is evil communications to corrupt your good manners. Oh, we won't have time to get into a lot of details. This could be a 10-week series. But oh, if we just look back at the music, how it's changed generations. No, I'm not saying music's ever been real pretty. Back in Jesus' day, there was lewd music. Don't be deceived. But oh, in the 1950s, when this thing called rock and roll came on the scene, and it began to corrupt America, it's eaten like a cancer. It's eaten like a cancer. The term itself is a borrowed ghetto term for fornication. It's wicked. It's ungodly. And since the 1950s, when rock and roll entered the scene, suicide in America increased to 300%. I thought it just made you feel good. No, it's an evil communication of Satan, and it's out to steal and to kill and destroy your life. America has the highest suicide rate of all the world. Isn't that amazing? With all our comforts and technology and security and peace, we have the highest suicide rate. The rock and roll and the depression go hand in hand. It robs you of anything good in your life. Not to mention the movies and the entertainment, the amusement industry. We could go on for hours. But this corruption, synonyms for the word corruption or changes, the evil communications, they corrupt, they change, they ruin, they destroy, they decay, they rot, they tarnish, they waste, they pervert, they contaminate, they demoralize, they infect, they spoil, they mar, they consume, they putrefy, and they poison the good manners of Christian people. Let's look at some pictures in the scripture of this. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Can you see Eve in the Garden of Eden at this beautiful tree? There's not a sin in the garden. There's not a rotten thing in the garden. There's no death. There's no disaster. Perfection everywhere. And she reasons with one of the beasts of the field about the fruit. Should she eat it or not? When God had already said, no! When God says no, don't debate it anymore. Amen? Why do people sit around and say, but you really think? No! God said no! Leave it alone! Get away. Run away. Separate. But she reasoned with the serpent, and it beguiled her with his subtlety. And she ate the fruit and brought death, disaster, and damnation upon planet Earth. Think of a man named Lot. Here's Lot. The Bible in Hebrews 11 calls him a righteous man. I believe it is. Lot. Vexed. Contaminated. Irritated. Poisoned by the filthy communication of Sodom. And if we look at the end of Lot's life, it's not a really pretty story. It's a disaster story. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and let Sodom influence his life. The man in Psalm 1, it says, he walketh not, he standeth not, and he sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly, the evil communications of the world. Picture the man in the world. The ungodly counsel comes and he begins to walk with it. Yeah, that's right. He's communicating with the ungodly counsel of the world. Before long, something's said. And he stops and he's standing with it. And then before long, the world says, have a seat. And sit down. Have something to drink. And then before long, there's communion there. It's progressive. You walk, you stand, then you sit, and then it's gotcha. That's the way the world works. The evil communications corrupt good manners. What about the evil woman in Proverbs 7? She calls, yoo-hoo, over here. I'm over here. Hey. Her soft voice, her eyelids, her perfume, her alluring dress. Solomon said he looked out his window one day and he saw a woman. And she had a signboard. She had a billboard. And it said, harlot, for sale, available. He said, I saw this woman with the attire of a harlot. He saw her, and there was a signboard by the way she was dressed. How about you? Are you a signboard? I guarantee you, your dress is important. I want you to know this issue I'm talking about today, about evil communications. This is not a side issue. This is a heaven or hell issue, my friends. It really is. Because nothing is neutral. You're either for or against. This evil woman in Proverbs 7 said she caught the man. She first allured him. She talked about it. Told him what all she could do. And then she grabbed him with an impudent face, it says. And he yielded. Her good words and her fair speech deceived his simple heart. And it didn't say that, you know, they just had a little association. It said he's like an ox to the slaughter. It says in another place that her house is the way to hell. Romans 8 tells us that if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. So evil communications corrupt. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Probably the most vivid and sad picture in the whole Bible. If I could see a young man, the son of David. Here he is. His name is Solomon. A great man indeed. A man so full of the life and joy of the Lord. That God visits this young man one day and says, Solomon, what do you want? I'm going to give you whatever you ask. And Solomon could have said the gold, the silver. He could have named cities, lands. But he said, God, I want wisdom, a good and understanding heart that I can judge your people. Maybe he was thinking back at that evil report of Kadesh Barnea. And he said, oh, if I could rightly judge and lead God's people, where they wouldn't be under the evil communications. And God was so pleased with Solomon that he granted him his request. And not only that, he gave him the prize too. He got the rest without even asking. He sought first the kingdom. But then we see the most horrible story in the Bible to me. Somebody that was of the son of David. The one that was the apple of God's eye. This man knew it all. Solomon had science. He knew math. He knew language. He knew the stars, the planets. He had earth science down. Marine biology down. It was nothing he didn't know. Botany, horticulture, farming, architecture, construction. He knew it all. Minerals. He knew it all. Inventions, engineering. He had it. But then one day, Solomon just wasn't satisfied. And he began to notice the women with the signboards, maybe. And he began to invite them in. No doubt those Ammonite women had some unique style of music. Let's let them play for us. Oh, and these Moabite women, boy, they can dance some unique dances. And before long, their music and their dance and their literature and all their stuff began to allure and corrupt Solomon's good manners. And the Scripture says it this way, that Solomon loved many strange women. And they took his heart so deep that Solomon built devil-worshipping temples. Devil-worshipping temples, this man who wanted God's wisdom and his knowledge. Now, my friend, if that's not a terrible story of evil communications corrupting, and Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus Christ was a wiser than Solomon. But I'm telling you, friends, you and your strength and your reasoning, if Solomon couldn't handle it, you can't handle it. That's why you need God's Word and the Holy Ghost to lead your life. You're not going to make it in your own way. In the multitude of counsel, you'll find safety. This is the greatest multitude of counsel I can give you today. Will you hear it? We could talk about Samson laying his head in the lap of a strange woman too. All it did to him was bind him up. They just gouged his eyes out. They just took his strength from him and made him an entertaining slave. And he was finally ground to powder. What a shame. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, wouldn't listen to the ancients. He had to listen to the young culture. And he turned out to be quite a devil. What a shame. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says that wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Yes, yeah, we look back at our families. Are they where they should be? Have we let some evil communication come in and corrupt the good vision and the good manners of our family? May God help us to cleanse our lives of those things. You know, the Bible says that we're not to bring any abomination into our house. Neither bring any abomination into your house. Oh, just let me paint some pictures for you. Maybe somewhere last night, late in the evening, there was a young man and perhaps one of our families that found his way to the front seat of a car, and there's a radio, and he turns it on and he begins just listening, scanning the dial, listening to news, listening to weather, listening to information. Oh, and then this song with this really loud strong, intense rock and roll beat catches his ear. And instead of just scanning the dial, he listens for a while. And the beat seems to grab him. Although he knows it's wrong, soon he changes the dial and he listens to some country music. And then he hears some other rap, hip-hop sound. Then he's back to the rock and roll maybe. And it's captivating him, although he knows it's wrong and he shouldn't listen to it. But he doesn't realize it. Something's banging in his mind and poisoning him. Well, he gets convicted and he leaves the scene. But the next day in church, he doesn't feel like singing. He's got this ringing in his ear, these lyrics, and this satanic evil beats in his mind. And he's feeling vexed and irritated. And if that young man doesn't deal with that, chances are he'll investigate deeper. Satan's alluring him and he's deceiving him. Be not deceived. It's corrupting him. My friend, all I have to do is give you a little poison and it's going to affect you. There's no way you and I can fellowship with evil and it not affect us. A couple goes out to eat on a nice quiet evening to get away from all the stress and strains of life. The husband and his wife, he wants to court his wife. But as they're sitting in the restaurant, the music is so pounding in their ear. It's not a nice evening. It's horrible. The vexation of this sensual music ruins their evening. We must beware of the influences in our life all around us, in stores, in restaurants, whatever you do. You have got to make a purpose to circumcise the ear to hear the right things. It's okay to leave a store if the music's filthy. It's okay to leave a store if the display pictures are pornographic. You got to make choices. How about your bookshelves? Are they safe? What about those days you just go to the thrift store and your children go to look at books? My friend, the thrift store bookshelves are not even safe. I don't care if it is a Christian thrift store. They don't have discernment in most of those. I've seen some romance novels in those thrift stores that are pornographic in content. The books of this age are dangerous. The young girl goes and begins to read these things and they plant false lies and evil communications about love and marriage in her heart that she may never get over. It's wrong fellowship. Warning to you sisters. Warning to your brothers. Oh, young men riding their bikes or walking down the road find a pornographic magazine. This evil communication is in our county. It's very clear. Some of you have got those testimonies. My friends, you don't read it. You don't give it a second look. It may come through your mailbox. It may be at a workplace. You'll find things in the wrong things in seemingly right places sometimes. You best beware, my friend. Just one look can corrupt your whole righteous soul. It's dangerous. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Oh, how long can we talk about the curiosity of the media today from the TV and the internet and all these things? I wonder what y'all would think about me if I went down to the big electronics store and I got me a big screen TV about the size of this marker board and set it up in my living room. Said, me and the family are just going to have some nice Friday night entertainment. And we're just going to get the good movies and watch the good TV shows and we're just going to enjoy it. Well, y'all, I'd say I'd get some knocks on my door. I sure hope I would. I'd come knock on your door. If you've got a big screen TV and I find out, I'm coming to see you. But you know what? Some folks just have screens about this big. They got the little laptops. They got the monitors in their office and in their home. And they're using them far worse than I ever used the TV. What are you watching? What are you clicking on? Oh, my friend, if you can't handle it, you need to get rid of it. I choose not to have one in my life. I choose not to be connected to the international worldwide spider web, because there's a black widow on it going to bite you. He's dangerous. That's between you and God. But I tell you, there's a lot of time wasting going on this thing too, my friends. May God help you. Just absorb in your life the foolishness of the social network, the foolishness of the unknown. Help us, Jesus, that we could get back to the text of Scripture instead of text messaging. Amen? The vice of these little cell phones, the possibilities on cell phones are unlimited, what you can get and do with them if you've got the right connections. May God help us. May God awaken us that we're just like the world. You see the world, all they're doing is texting and playing with their gadgets and their Game Boys and their foolishness. And then I look at our Christian young men and they're no better. You got a ring in your nose, young man. You're being led to the slaughter like the man that follows the adulterer. It's there. May God help us. There's no way you can continue to fellowship with these evil things and them not affect you. Remember what the Scripture said. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The only way to fellowship in any wise with evil is when you're doing what the Bible says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. When you're reproving it, you will have to fellowship in a sense in its presence. But even for the preacher, even for the Christian, it's dangerous. Because the Scripture says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. And as we, even as the preacher, begin to face the vile of our society, it has a hardening effect upon us. It's got a dangerous effect on it. That's why we must be accountable and careful with one another and confess our faults and keep each other in right light and accountability in these battles that we are in. The Bible says that sin will deceive you. Hebrews 3:13 says that you can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened. Your heart will begin to get hardened layer upon layer. There's no way you can sit and watch Hollywood's blasphemy and nudity and nakedness and suggestivism and all their filth and comedy and it not destroy your Christian walk. There is no way you will be able to worship God, to remember the Scriptures, and to live a victorious life over sin if you're feeding on the filth and garbage of Hollywood. There is nothing redeeming. It is a corrupt tree that cannot bring forth good fruit. And woe unto you if you've even got a rated G Hollywood music movie in your house. There's nothing good. It's a bridge to the next thing. Burn them. Get rid of Hollywood. Secular music. It's wicked. We must cleanse ourselves of this evil. We're losing children. We're losing people. We're losing our way. We must get back to true holiness. Hebrews says, without it, you and I will not see God. We can't see Him. He wants us, He's jealous with a godly jealousy that we be pure, a virgin, chaste for Him. He's coming and He's going to receive only a virgin, only a pure bride will Jesus come back for. Sin and evil will harden your heart. Hebrews 3:13 says so. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. God said that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. If it seems evil, then you're to abstain from it, God said. Run from it. Abstain from it. Flee from it. Avoid it. The very appearance. David said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. He said, I hate the deeds of them that turn aside. Evil communications cause us to turn aside. whether it be the friend, whether it be the companion at work, whether it be the music, whether it be the video, whether it be pleasure, evil communications corrupt your good manners. I like what Job said. This is a great verse for you young men that may struggle with lust. Maybe there's old men in here that struggle with lust. Job just put it very frank. He said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a promise. I've made a deal with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job got serious. He got this thing in order. We've hit on a lot of little things here, but I'd like to focus a little clearer now. I want to give you six things that communicate with us that are evil. Six things. And we've hit on these. Maybe these will be just a fresh up, perhaps. The first one is clothing. Clothing is communicating with you. Whether you go shopping, it's hanging on the hanger, it's communicating with you. And there's a reason people want to dress a certain way. Normally it's because they want to identify with somebody else. There's very few people that just go and get their sewing machine out and say, I'm going to just make my own style of clothing. Yeah, it happens occasionally, but for the most part, you're dressing like somebody else. Everyone in here is copying somebody else's dress pattern to some degree. There's a reason men wear pants and long sleeve shirts, and you know, there's a standard of modesty and conservatism there that they're wanting to duplicate. They've seen it, it seems acceptable, so they see it not against Bible. The same with the young ladies. They like a double-layered dress that's not too tight, that is careful to cover the body and not show the shape of it. And this is a blessing. But the world's clothing, outside of this house, it's screaming, look at me. Look at me. Look at this new color. You know, we don't have just black and white. I see some color. You know, I don't see bright red in here, and I'm really thankful that I don't see, you know, fire engine red dresses on you sisters. It's really a blessing. I'm glad I don't see neon yellow head coverings on our sisters. It's a real blessing. But in all essence, the world wants to be noticed. Notice me! Look at what I'm wearing! Or look at what I'm not wearing. And that's the world. They're wanting attention. Our job is to draw the attention to Christ. We want to represent that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The clothing of the world is saying something, whether it be the name brand, you're identifying with this worldly name brand, you're wearing the t-shirt that has your favorite band on it, so you're identifying with the music culture, or your sports team, you're the sports fanatic and you want to say Eagles or whatever your team is, Phillies, you're wanting to say, I am of them. Well, you know, I want to say, I am with Him. That's what I want my clothes to say somehow. I'm with Him. No, I don't dress like the Phillies. I don't dress like the rock and roll culture. I don't dress like the beach crowd. I want to be different from my shoes to my hair. I want to be a normal, holy Christian is what I want to be. There's any such thing. The second thing we want to look at is the music. Music in our age is quite a communicator. If we study the scriptures, it seems to show us that the devil was some sort of a great musician in heaven. Some sort of a worship leader of the angels. Amen? So, if I were the devil and I understood music, I think I'd use it to get you. If I couldn't get you with the heroin, and I couldn't get you with fornication outright, and I couldn't get you with bank robbery, then maybe I could sing you a sweet little song and wear you down and pet you like you do a kitten to relax him, like you rub a dog's ear to get him happy. Satan has done the same thing with music. Music was never meant to just relax you and coo you and woo you. Music for the Christian is to worship the living God. Notice that when David played on his harp, yeah, he relaxed the demons out of Saul for a little while. But he couldn't fix Saul with a song. Saul would have had to repent in dust and ashes to get right. The same way you and I have to repent. So the devil has deceived the whole world with music. Remember the old story of the Pied Piper? Does anybody remember that story? You remember the Pied Piper? He played his little flute. He played his little flute. And he had quite a following. He made quite a train of followers with his little flute. What was his main object to do? Do you remember what it was? What was it? What was the Pied Piper doing? Nobody knows? He's a kidnapper. He just lured him away. Come on. Yeah, it's fun. Dance. And he just did it. Took him away. Who do you think stealing children today with the music? Oh, you might say, well, we've only got Christian music. Oh, my friend, that word has been marred. It's almost an oxymoron now to say Christian music. It really is. Christian rock, Christian rap. It stinks. It really does. It really does. I went to a concert the other night of a very conservative Mennonite group. And there was no real big shenanigans there. It was edifying, I could say. But you know what? They're right where the Southern Gospel people were when I left that evangelical side of Christianity. They seem to be about to cross the street. You know, it's just too much emphasis on the sound and the bass and the echoes, and they're just caught up in it. And it's probably lawful, but I don't like where they're taking God's people. They're taking conservative, godly people into a sensual realm of singing. And you think you can sing all that and get that feel-good spirit and really come worship the hymns when you're done? I trow not. It's going to wear you down. And the Christian music of, you know, these groups that seem to be somewhat accepted, it's Christian rock or it's one of its children. It's the sensual dance, swaying, body-to-body kind of feel-good music. And they're just singing good lyrics. But I'm telling you, if music has been borrowed from the rock and roll sex culture, it doesn't need to have God's words put on it. It really doesn't. I don't care if it's Michael W. Smith, Casting Crowns, Amy Grant, whoever your favorite might be. These are dangerous influences in your life. Christian rap, it needs to go. It's not going to take you on to God. It's going to take you back to where it came from. And I'm not going to argue that some of their lyrics are not scripture. I know they are. I'm not ignorant. I've listened to this music. I've been there. I'm not just some old man telling you what I read. I've been there. I used to listen to it in and out. I've been to the big name Christian concerts back in my day. And it's a bunch of hogwash, my friend. It really is. And you need to let it go, and you need to learn to worship God in spirit and truth without all the props, without the posters, without the fancy CD covers, without the lights and the lasers, and learn to be a holy man and woman of God. Evil communications corrupt our good manners. We wonder why the church has got to change its whole program now. American church has had to change its whole program because of the influence of music. And now it's 99% music and drama and about 1% sermonette for the so-called Christianette. And it's always positive and good news. They never give you anything rebuking. Seeker-friendly. God called the gospel to be preached, not sung. Singing's for the church. preaching's for the lost, to the lost, to go warn them to be saved. We could talk a long time about relationships, friends and neighbors, your influences of your girls working out, your boys working out. You better be careful. They're not having the heart of an evangelist. The evil communications are going to corrupt them. Many a mother thought that her rowdy son would be good to go and work with your good son, brother. Yeah, let my son, he's really rebellious. Let him hang out with your son, Jody. For long, Jody's calling me on the phone saying, I can't believe what my son's doing now. How come Stephen didn't change him? Because for some reason, good doesn't change bad. Bad changes good. I don't know why it works that way. But in that realm, just in the influence realm, the rebel generally destroys. One sinner destroys much good. For some reason, I can have 40 yellow delicious apples in a box. And they're crisp and they're good. And if there's one rotten fermenting apple in the center of the box, everything that it touches in a week is ruined. And it just eats like a cancer. So goes good with bad. Or bad with good, I should say. The rebel doesn't need to just be put under the control of a good boy. He needs to get born again. He needs to come to the reality of his sin. You know, my little 6-year-old and your 6-year-old want to come to, they come over, you come over to the house, and the 2 6-year-olds want to play together. And that's fine. That's what 6-year-olds do. They get their trucks and they play. But I like to hear them. I like to hear what they're saying. I don't like them to go upstairs in the attic. No way. We don't like that. Because my fool is not good for your fool, and your fool is not good for my fool. Little children, in a sense, are fools. They're foolish. They don't have the wisdom of God. And they will corrupt one another. They'll tell lies. They'll talk stories. It's a bunch of nonsense. We've seen it, those of us that are raising children. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Our business relationships, we can get such a worldly posture that we're not even a Christian at work. God help us. It's the money man. It's the important businessman. Well, bless God, I hope you're a Christian before you're a businessman. Amen. Help us, Jesus. I tell you what, as an alluring woman is to a young man to lust, sometimes a successful businessman to a young man is the same kind of lust. I want what he's got. I want to be rich like that. Looking at the car, looking at the truck, same lustful, covetous spirit. It's wicked. There's an unseen spirit working in all these things. There really is. We talked a little about the books and the magazines. That would be number 4 would be movies. Number 5 would be books and magazines. Beware. Number 6, I'll hit on this a moment. We're running out of time. Advertising. Whether it be a billboard, a magazine ad, something across your screen, whether it be TV commercials or whatever, the advertising of this world is deceitful. And what they do, they rarely get somebody with messy hair, pimple face, crooked teeth to advertise their toothpaste. This worldly mentality of the beautiful people. And this beautiful people image is puked all over our lives. And we look in the mirror and we realize that we're not beautiful. And so, and this lie of trying to be beautiful, wanting to be pretty, is just destroying so much. It's a horrible thing. And if you'll think about it, some of the most dear people you love and admire in your life, they're not real pretty, but they're awful special to you. Don't let this world's false advertising of beautiful people destroy you. You young ladies, don't look at those false pictures. They're so doctored up. There's very few people that are so perfect. They all have the same problems you and I have. They have bad breath. They get body odor. They get pimples on their face. They get the same kind of problems we got. Their hairs get gray. Their bellies get fat. It's reality. It's reality. pretty people is a lie of the devil in the advertising world. I believe there's a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says we're to resist him. I've got some scriptures to run through here and toward the closing here that I'd like us to look at. And these scriptures are 15 scriptures that I have. I'll quote to you and give you the references. And these are steps to victory through the Word of God. How we can overcome this evil communication that's corrupting our good manners. Before I do that, I'd like to share a little illustration with you about the little lizards. Where I grew up on the Gulf Coast, we had lots of these little lizards. They call them anoles. Some people call them chameleons. They're in that same family. And these little lizards get on your window screens and your shutters and your bricks and your patios. And they're an amazing little lizard. When they're on the green palm tree, they're green. When they're on the brown brick, they're brown. So they have an amazing gift from God to change to fit their environment. We are not to change with the environment we're in. You see, most people are just products of their environment. If we go to the inner city ghettos, we see the tragedy, the product of that environment. We see the fatherless children. We see the drugs. We see the fighting. We see the violence. We see the tobacco lust. We see the horror of ghetto life. These children are products of their environment. And in a sense, our children are becoming products of the environment that we're sheltering them in. And that's in the positive sense. But we're to be one color all the time. Do you hear me? And when we contrast so vividly with the other culture around us, it's okay. That's supposed to be that way. The Bible says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. It says here that most people are just a product of their environment. But we should set the color and the influence by our holy standard. And what God has called the children of God to be is the influence. Most of people, when they go out into society, are influenced by society. What do you think? If you look at pictures of the Mennonite culture just in this county, how it's tragic to see how the dress has changed in the last 50 years. Have anybody ever seen that book? It's a tragic story. And if you just go back 15 or 20 years in our churches, it's kind of tragic to see what great heights we've fallen from. The things that we accept that we probably wouldn't have then. It happens so gradual. But we should be an influence and not be influenced. If we just stay 20 years behind the world, that's not enough. Amen? Amen. 20 years behind the world is still the world. Amen? May we be that separate people called out by God. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, the 15 steps to victory. I believe if we take a few elementary warnings from the Scripture, we would easily, through Jesus and through His Spirit He has given us, win the battle over evil communications. Whether it be people, whether it be the media, whether it be the fads and fashions, whatever it be. Here's some very trite scriptures, but faith comes by hearing, and may these scriptures strengthen you today. 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Number 5, 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says to cast down imaginations. Cast down imaginations and every thought. Bring them into captivity. The ones that exalt themselves against Jesus and good manners. You're to bring them into captivity. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 4, and I'd like you to turn there quickly. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says here that finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Here we have 8 steps to victory in this one verse. And few people will get this radical with the things in their life that they're fellowshipping with and they're communicating with. But here it clearly shows us that if something's not true and honest, you don't need to fellowship with it. You communicate with things that are false and lying, they're going to deceive you, church. They really will. And we could bring this home in a lot of points, but time doesn't permit today. The next two are just and pure. Things that are just and pure. You know, the Bible does say in another place that we're not even to speak of the things which the wicked or ourselves did in darkness. We're not supposed to go into the details of our sin. It's very corrupting for people to tell their old sin stories. I think there's a way to briefly hit on them for testimony's sake. But I would feel convicted in my own heart that many times I've gone too deep in sharing in things that I was involved in as I read that scripture. It's a shame to speak of those things. They're not pure. They're not just. These are 8 gates of safety. And if you just begin to open one and go to the next one, if one won't open because it doesn't fit the requirement, if you'd leave it alone, you'd live a victorious life. You'd still be left with a wonderful Bible. I know that. Lovely and good. If it's not lovely and it's not good, don't fellowship with it. Don't communicate with it. Virtuous and praiseworthy are the last two. If something can't give glory and honor to God, I don't care if it is true. I don't care if it was on YouTube. I don't care if it was on Facebook. I don't care if it was on the internet, headline news. My friend, if it can't give glory and honor to God and we can't somehow learn some admonition from it, then let's trash it. Amen? The 7th one, stop going down to Egypt, is what I titled it. It says there in Isaiah chapter 30, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. It says that the shadows of Egypt shall be your confusion. It says all the Egyptians can do is sit still and they add sin to sin. That's what they do. So what I'm warning you here is borrowing things from the world to Christianize them. If we would quit doing that, we'd be a happy Christian. Amen? Let's quit going down to Egypt. Egypt's not your source. Amen? The next one here, it says, number 8, remember, a little leaven, Galatians 5:9. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. One little bit of leaven, girls. One little bit of leaven, boys. In your life. Oh, it's just hit away. It's over there. It was just a little piece. But it begins to grow and grow and grow. And how many testimonies have we heard? It just started as a little thing. But it began to grow and grow. And it overtook you. Samson got away with a little thing. Then another thing before long. he was ground to powder. A little leaven, Galatians 5:9. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Love the truth. Love the truth. Love the truth. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, God sent them strong delusion. And if you won't hear the godly people's warnings, and you won't hear God's warnings, when God deceives you, it's going to be worse than the evil communication. Because if you want it, God's just a gentleman. He sometimes will give you what you want. It's a shame. God will give us what we want sometimes to our destruction. Love the truth. Esteem the truth. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Oh, that texting and internet time wasting and whatever your music listening would be replaced by the old-fashioned art of memorizing the Scripture. We have a deficit in our home, I confess to you. We've seen that and we're beginning to wake up and start to memorize God's Word, that the Word of God could dwell in us richly and build a bulwark against this evil tide of evil communications that's coming in and corrupting us. Number 11, Luke 22:46. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." So simple. Take time to be alert. Stay up. Seek the Lord. Seek His Word. And you won't fall into those temptations. If you're bound by a secret sin or some habitual sin today, watch and pray. And you can overcome. That's what Jesus said. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the right words. The words we speak should decorate and adorn the gospel and the truth of Christ. Amen? There's no room for the evil speaking. There's no room for the slander. There's no room for the mocking. There's no room for the scorning. I don't know where jokes fit in either. Help us, Jesus. Amen? We're way too foolish. Some of us. I myself have been snared by the culture I was raised in to be just foolish and comedy. It's a curse. It really is. Help us to overcome, Lord. That our every idle word we speak, we will give an account. 1 John 5:18. It says, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. It says that the man there in 1 John, he keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. That lion is coming. He's prowling. He's seeking to devour. But the man that's keeping himself, he's watching. He's praying. He's remembering. He's seeking God. The devil can't touch him. That's pretty powerful stuff there. The devil touching your life, the Bible says to keep yourselves. The next one is in 1 John 1:5, number 14. Jesus said to walk in the light. And the scripture there, 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. So if God is that extreme, we need to be too. Stay away from those things that have a little darkness in them, a little corruption, that little leaven that's going to grow. It says here that number 15, Proverbs 4:14. I want to go to that one and read it to you. Proverbs 4:14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Enter not into their way. Stay away. Another place it says, be not among wine bibbers and riotous eaters of flesh. Don't go in the way. I'm not saying we can't go and stand in the way and call them to repent. But don't go in their way. You'll walk with them. You'll stand with them. You'll sit with them. You'll be with them. Don't enter their path. Avoid it. Amen. I think that those 15 things I gave you there, if you just do a couple of them, I believe you'd have the victory. Amen? I don't think it's a 15-point checklist in perfection, because I think they're all basically crying the same message. This is a major theme. Come out from among them. Be a holy people. Be separate. What fellowship does light have with darkness? There's none. What does Christ and the devil? There's none. A little poison, a little leaven, a little darkness. And for a closing scripture, besides our text, 2 Peter 3:17. Beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. Beware, lest ye also be led away from Christ with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. God wants you to be steadfast, immovable. Like I said in the beginning, there's no neutrality. Either you're for Christ or you're against Him. He that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Be not deceived, church. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If we could pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. I just hope, God, that you could. I ask you, Father, to work in our lives. Lord, put your finger, shine your light upon any darkness among us, and help us, Lord, to put away from us the evil things. We see so many that have been deceived, O God. The whole culture, great men of God like Solomon, and we ourselves, O God, if we don't take heed, we too will fall, Lord. Help us to be guarded from this evil tide that is among us, this tsunami of filth and evil words and evil life. O God, spare your people. Raise up your remnant, God. Strengthen us, God, that we might once again be no more a reproach to you, but bring glory and honor to your great and saving name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen, Brother Jeff. Thank you. But they'll be offended if we don't continue our friendship. They'll suffer rejection, and then we won't have any opportunity to speak good into their lives. You heard those arguments over and over again. The whole concept of separation is being railroaded out of our theology in light of acceptance, friendship, not bringing offense or hurt to them. And so much so that, you know, I hear God's people questioning their own theology concerning these things. And yet today we've heard it from the Word of God, substantiated very clearly by Scripture. And it's a blessing. I want to say amen to it. I think we need that refresher this morning very, very much to see where we're at, see where our theology is, where we're thinking concerning the whole concept of how evil communications corrupt good manners and defile us and wear down our biblical convictions and way of life.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.